In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning's $5 word is liminal. Do you know the word liminal? L-I-M-I-N-A-L, liminal. It's an adjective. And it's sometimes used in the world of psychology and also by anthropologists. And it refers to times or modes that relate to transition. So in a tribal culture, if you are about to perform or be a part of some kind of ritual that marks your growth from boyhood into manhood, you are entering a liminal phase. In psychology, if you are occupying a position where you are on both sides of a thing, or just crossing a boundary or a threshold of some sort, then you are in a liminal stage. It's basically a fancy word for in between. And I've been thinking about liminality this week because, well, a few reasons. One, graduations are everywhere right now. We ushered the middle school class of 2014 into elementary school just this past Friday. You know, last Saturday, we had commencements for the College of Charleston and for the Citadel, and the news is ripe right now with different commencement addresses and all of the hubbub surrounding graduations. But on top of that, we had a funeral here this week at Grace. Definitely a kind of transition. Plus, summer is here. And summer is a kind of new adjustment for all of us. We're on the front end of it. Everybody's sort of getting out on the water again for the first time in a while. Vacations are imminent. Some people leave town. Maybe they head to the mountains or various places. There's a feeling in town that has kind of shifted. On top of all of that, we had a newcomer's welcome event this past Thursday up in the Meadowcroft room. And 35 new people have just joined Grace Church. For them, this is a liminal time. I met a five-week-old baby named Camden, our newest member. Life is his new face. We're baptizing a child at 11, a little boy, Fuller, liminal in the extreme. It strikes me that life is full of these types of experiences, of transition, of next phases, of in-betweenness. The Greek philosopher Heraclitus put it like this: you can't stick your foot in the same river twice. We are all engaged with a future that is barreling towards us. Its unfolding is imminent. With that said, there are two things I think we should take away this morning about the future, about the events that will soon come to pass. The first, if you think you know what is going to happen, you don't. And you're probably going to be disappointed. There are a few reasons for this, and I'm not trying to be a downer. And I'm also not telling you something that you don't already know. But life in this fallen world is full of curveballs. What's it called again? Murphy's Law? You've heard of that? It's not that bad things will happen. It's that whatever can happen will happen. And we don't know all of the things that can happen on the front end, do we? The result is that things usually go a different way than we expect them to go. And because of it, accurate predictions are as rare as hen's teeth. I remember a few months ago when everybody was freaking out with the college basketball brackets in the first or second round when Mercer, no offense, Michael, upset Duke. Do you remember that? Life does not bend to speculation all that well. The problem is not so much that life works this way, as it is that even though we know it does, we don't expect it to. The result is usually some form of upset apple cart. There's a saying, an expectation is a premeditated resentment. Or to put it in more spiritual terms, we might posit, God's way is probably not your way. Indeed, it's hard, going on impossible, to pin God down. Here's a little side note. Even if things do go according to plan, and sometimes they do, after they've happened the way you thought they would, I doubt you will feel about them the way you thought you would feel when they do finally come to pass. So given this assessment, I empathize with Thomas's words to Jesus from this morning's gospel lesson. They're a no-brainer. He said, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? God knows that life is going to require improvisation from you. In the Bible, this kind of improvisation is often dubbed faith. It's the place where life's moguls meet your unanticipated adjustment. The second thing I want to say to you this morning is that it is in that place, in reality, that God is always to be found. Christ's answer is as straightforward as we would hope it to be. He said to Thomas, I am the way. Perhaps you've just been hit by a curveball. The good news is that something new, which is indeed something of God, is going to take place. And it's going to take the place of whatever it is that you thought was going to happen. Huge portions of Scripture attest to this experience of God. The psalmist, for example, wrote 150 poems to this effect. In the place of disappointment, we discover that life is not over and that God is not through with his good works. In my own life, I've never been happier than I was 6 months after the breakup that I thought would kill me. And I've never been more fulfilled professionally than I was just after the time when I lost my job due to events that I could not control. If you want to take something home from this sermon, go home and put on Peter Frampton's famous live album from 1975 and listen to Show Me the Way. Or if you're really cool, put on your cassette tape of Dinosaur Jr.'s cover of that song from 1987. He is the way, and it's a relief. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen.